It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It is great to be with you today, and first of all, I want to start by thanking all of you who have given so generously of your finances to Bible Home Church. You know, it's only because you really care about getting the Word of God out, and you care about the Bible Home Church movement. You see, we're very much convinced that in these last days, home churches may very well be the only place the true Jesus and the true Word of God can be worshipped. Oh, every day we're having huge new church buildings constructed. I was invited to a church here in Austin, Texas, and a friend invited me, and I don't know why the friend did, but let me just say this, that the friend invited me, and because their daughter was going to be singing at a musical review at a church here, a very large Baptist church. And I agreed to go because, you know, Wanda and I love their daughter. We've been friends for a long time, and their daughter is a sweet young lady, and she has a marvelous voice. And so I didn't know what to expect. I knew this church was, let's just say it was in the liberal category. But I felt a musical review. It should be some nice music. I was told that it wasn't going to necessarily be religious. Well, but I never would think that it would be anti-God. I mean, it is a church. Well, when I got there, the sign outside said something about a rock and roll musical review. While I went on in the church, I noticed something about the church. There were no crosses. There were no external signs and no internal signs inside the auditorium that it was even a church. You know, having taught at three universities, I felt like I was just at some kind of university academic hall, some auditorium, you know, some downtown area. No sign at all that this was really a church, and yet the church has 5,000 members, I'm told, one of the largest churches in Austin, Texas, one of the most wealthy and affluent of churches. I know the pastor, he's mentioned me in a couple of his sermons, and not in a very favorable way, I might add, but I try not to hold that against anybody if they don't like me and what we teach here at Bible Home Church. But he has also said some things that are quite shocking, such as this particular pastor believes that there really is no hell, and he really doesn't know if the Bible's correct or not. He believes a lot of it probably is just myth. So the same pastor has a lot of dignitaries go to his church, you know, famous people like Willie Nelson and Larry Gatlin, so he's sort of known, and I understand he golfs with all the big wigs and the millionaires here in town, the pastor does, and has a national radio and TV show called Common Sense Christianity, although it doesn't sound like much common sense to me since he doesn't believe in the Bible. Not sure that Jesus even died on the cross as far as I can recall him talking about it. Many years ago, Juan and I visited the church when we first moved to Austin. We didn't know much about Austin. We wanted to get familiar with the churches, and the pastor gave a sermon on a movie he had just seen. I think it was the movie, the X-rated movie 10 with Bo Derek. And the pastor there, a Gerald Mann, gave a sermon. He somehow saw a lot of good in that movie, and he thought it was worthy of a sermon. Well, So this is the kind of church it was. But after all, I went there simply for a musical review because I wanted mainly to listen to the daughter of our friends. And she was going to sing a song. Right off, they started with something that made me literally cry. How did it happen? Well, I was sitting there with Wanda and suddenly, oh, I don't know, there were probably about 1,000 people attending this musical rock and roll review. And right away, they had started having smoke come up out of, you know, these things like they do in rock and roll shows. And suddenly, the screen lit up and they were showing, you know, like a movie. It was clips from old, you know, documentaries. And there on the screen was a man named Jimmy Snow. Now, I knew Jimmy Snow. There he was as a young man. He's older today. Jimmy Snow was a country singer and into rock music at its earliest stages back in the Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis stage. His father was one of the legendary men of founders of country music in America. But Jimmy Rogers Snow was giving his Christian testimony there right on the screen. Of course, that was a 20-year-old film, and he was almost crying as he gave his testimony, and he said, God took me out of rock and roll music. And Jimmy Snow said to that church there, and that was in the film now, and there he was at a small, you know, fundamentalist church in this movie or this documentary, and Jimmy Snow was telling the people that it was the beat. It was the beat of the rock music that the devil used to influence young people's minds. And he said, I, through the grace of God, escaped that beat. That beat of rock music that the devil uses to entrap young people. You know, Jimmy Rogers Snow was giving a powerful testimony there. And suddenly the whole auditorium broke out in guffaws and laughing. They were laughing at a man on film giving his testimony of how God had taken him out of rock music, satanic rock music. These people were laughing and mocking, and they just roared. And then they showed several other people that were talking about their belief that rock music is the devil's music. And every time a person would come on the screen, the people in this audience watching this film, they were all around me, just began to laugh and shout. And I mean, it was the biggest joke to them. And I remembered hearing how this pastor had talked about his church was very tolerant toward homosexuals. Tolerant, evidently, from what I understand, by the way, about abortion and such things. What a tolerant church it was. But I was seeing the hatred that the people had toward fundamentalist Christians. And there I stood in the midst of them, and inside I just sort of began to cry. And Wanda, without me saying a word, reached over and put her arm around my neck, and she said, after our friend, you know, she mentioned the young girl's name, I won't mention it here, after she sings, maybe we ought to go ahead and go. You know, and then, by the way, they went on. They had all kind of songs. Some of them supposedly were cute. Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Polka Dot Bikini, I think was the name of one song. And they had Roll Over Beethoven and all of the old rock songs. And the music director of this church got up and invited the people of the church to rock and roll and jitterbug and twist and dance between the pews. Well, actually, they weren't pews. They were like theater seats. They didn't even have pews. In fact, there was no place to kneel. There was no altar in this church. There were no kneeling pads or kneeling places to kneel. I guess people in that church don't ever kneel and pray. But the music director invited people to dance, and they began. As each song came up, there were some people that would get out of their chairs, and they were having a big time and dancing in the aisles. And I thought to myself, is this what God is all about? Is this what Christianity really is? You know, friends, there is coming a great storm on this world. I believe God is going to unleash a hurricane-like force that will envelop this whole earth. And churches like I've just told you about are going to be totally overcome with the tidal wave that God is going to send. But praise God, we have Jesus, we who believe in him, who respect him, who do not make fun of his word, and he will keep us between him and the storm. Now, I've got a very powerful series of messages I'm going to be talking about today. We're just going to start it today, probably only maybe get about 15 minutes worth in. It's entitled, Who Are God's Chosen People? And friends, you've never heard a message like you're going to hear. We're first going to have a song, beautiful song by a group called it calls itself Gold City. Gold City. Well, James Lundeen recommended this song to me from this album, Gold City. And it is a beautiful song, Between Me and the Storm. Now, after this song, friends, stay with me. I'm telling you, you have to know. Are you one of God's chosen people? Will you admit to it? There's a lot of false teachings around. I mean powerful false teachings. People would even deny that they're Christians, that they are have the promises of God and yet call themselves Christians. You're going to have to stay with us because we're going to be discussing this topic now. Right after this song, I'm going to be starting a whole series of sermons, and we'll continue next week and even the week thereafter. Going to get a lot of people mad, a lot of people angry. But if you love Jesus' word, you're going to like what I have to say. Maybe you won't agree with me at first. Then you take notes. You read the Bible. You write to me. I believe you're going to like it, though. I believe you're going to like what I have to say, you know, because I believe that the people who are members of Bible Home Church, who are associates, who love this work and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you love his word, too. That's why. That's why you're going to like this series. But first, here's Gold City singing Between Me and the Storm.
Impending storm just ahead, I can see the darkened clouds. There's no way around it, there is no way out. There was danger all around me, surely I would drown if the force of his presence made the waves to lay down. He walked out on the water, facing the wind. How it roared and it thundered till the Master said not a word as he stepped out on the sea. Yet my heart was hearing clearly what he spoke to me. Be not afraid, it is I won't leave you all alone. With my eyes fixed on the Savior, I could no longer see the storm. He walked out. On the water, facing
When I was a little kid, we would go to church, and I remember distinctly one day, I was just a little toddler, but the pastor spoke on the subject of Israel, Israel being God's chosen people. And you know, when you're a little kid, well, you're a little selfish sometimes. And I thought it was very unusual because the pastor said that the Jews were God's chosen people. Well, I wanted to be chosen too. I remember, you know, playing baseball and they would choose the teams. It always make you feel bad if you were the last one chosen. And I, just as a little kid, thought about that. And so I asked my mom one day, are we chosen by God too? She said, oh no, just the Jews. They're the apple of God's eyes and only they are His chosen people. I remember feeling a little bit bad about that. And I didn't know what it meant to hear my mother, and she was a precious Christian, and she was going along with what she had heard. And of course, there was a great truth to that, that the Jews were God's chosen people. But still, it was, you know, difficult for me to understand. Now, as years went by and I began to comprehend what teachers were saying, pastors, and so forth, I began to realize exactly what they were saying and the kind of theology that they were using to preach that. But it still led to some strange questions in my mind. And the more I heard that, I believe over the years, the more I wanted to go to the Bible. You see, I really have a failure in my personality. I have to confess. It's that I don't always believe what people tell me. Now, I'm not talking about loved ones and friends and members of the church here. But you know, when I turn on the TV, I'm just very curious. And when I hear Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather and so forth, I always wonder if they're really telling us the truth. I didn't used to be that way. I've probably gotten paranoid in the last 10 years or so, a little bit. But you know, I think God wants us to question too. I think He wants to question everything but His Word. You agree with me? Question everything but Him. He says He's Lord. He says He told the truth in this Bible. Now, I've never questioned that. I believe that. So I start, my friends, with an absolute. I know this is true. I don't always know that men will tell me the truth or you the truth, but I know this is true. And when men speak about things of a theological or a religious nature, I know where to go to find out the truth. You can't always do that. You know, I've written some 35 books, but I don't vouch that everything in my books is true. If it was, then they would be scripture. I want everything I say to be true, and I work very hard, and I document my books, but I still would never say, here is truth, because I could be proven wrong. Maybe the facts are a little different than even I have. You know, I can list 6,000 quotes and 900 references, and still, I could be wrong. But here, I know. This has never failed me. Has it ever failed you? I know that this is true. And I wanted to know more about chosen people. You see, because something in my heart told me that God's chosen were those who believed in His Son Jesus. But I was being told something different everywhere I went. I was being told that a certain race was picked. I was really not told why, but that God just favored this particular race. Now, since I didn't believe that God really favored a race, and since I believe that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, still I was quite confused. I was curious to know why these teachings had gone forth. Some years ago, hadn't been a long time ago, as I began this questioning process of the theologians and the seminarians and the other prophecy teachers, as I began to go into the Word of God, I developed a knack for looking at what God had to say. And basically, I approached God's Word this way. I said, Lord, tell me, who are God's chosen people? And God inspired me to ask this question. Chosen for what? All right? If you say, for example, that a certain race of people are God's chosen people, then the question would be, chosen for what? Okay? For what were the Jews chosen? Now, when I went into God's Word, I found that the Jews were chosen. And the Jews were chosen for two great things. Now, I'm going to prove my point here a little bit. I'm just sort of giving you an overview of this. First of all, the Jews were chosen to give us the Scriptures. To give us the Scriptures. Old and New Testament. And you know what? When God chooses you for something, He gives you all of the power and strength to do it. And we have this Bible today. And we can thank Jews for this. Of course, they were inspired by God, but let's give Jews credit for doing that. And then I found something even more wonderful than that, if that's possible. I found that it's through the genealogy of the Jews that we have Jesus Christ. And you know, in Matthew there is the genealogy, and it's only in a few passages, few verses, but whammo, there it is. Jesus is the son of David and the son of God. He comes through this lineage straight from David. And that's an amazing thing too. So it's from the Jews that we were given our Savior. Even though I do not deny at all that He's the Son of God, that Mary was a virgin and all that. Nevertheless, there was this earthly lineage, you might call it. The heavenly and then the earthly. If we ask ourselves then, were the Jews chosen, we would have to say yes. And in a mighty way, they were blessed by God. All right? To bring forth the Word of God and the Son of God in this earthly lineage. And in that sense, certainly the Jews in Israel, the nation of Israel, the physical nation of Israel, accomplished a great work. Many times, you know, they went through trials and tribulation because they erred from God's ways. Sometimes they were brought into captivity, first in Egypt, later in Babylon, because of their great sins. And so we know then that they were not always faithful to God. But still God saw to it that certain men would lead Israel to bring forth the very things that I'm talking about today, that Israel or the Jews racially would not be extinguished as a nation until such time as those things should be fulfilled. And the amazing thing is the Jews still exist today as a nation. And I believe God still has a role for the nation of Israel. A lot of people don't believe that and they say, you know, other things, but I do believe that. And later on, I want to preach a sermon about God's role for the nation of Israel, okay? The physical nation of Israel that now exists and the people of that lineage. They're not all pure blood. We know that, and there's a lot of criticism about that and a lot of questioning. But basically, we know there is a Jewish nation, etc. They themselves argue about who is a Jew. If you're a Christian and you're of Jewish blood, well, you're not a Jew, according to some rabbis. And so we could go on and on. Even themselves, they've written entire books about who is a Jew. Okay? But without going into that physical thing, I want to ask you this question. Do you know who are God's chosen people? It really comes down to the seed of God. Who are the seed of Abraham? The lineage of Abraham. Do they exist in the world today? And are they only in that nation that we call Israel in the Middle East? Well, first of all, I want to tell you that I believe very sincerely that race and your physical attributes do not profit you very much. I'm sorry, but that's true. Now I have that again as authority from the Word of God. John 3, verse 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus. He went there privately, meaning secretly, because he was a ruler of the temple and the synagogue, and he didn't want anybody to know that this great learned man, Nicodemus, had to sneak away at night to go ask spiritual advice of this unlearned man from Galilee, Jesus. But he did. He was so curious. And he wanted to know how to enter the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus said, you've got to be born again. And he scratched his head. I suppose, I don't even know what you're talking about. How can I be born again? I can't go through my mother's womb. You see, he believed that being a Jew, he was of a favored race, and they had the law, and he would be born again, if you want to call it that, spiritually through that law. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, he really hadn't even been, actually, he hadn't even thought about born again. But he didn't really believe he could be born again, but he thought he would just obey the law, and he would get to heaven, possibly. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus said, I can't be born again physically. And Jesus said, you must be born again in spirit and in truth.
You have been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please tune in next week as Pastor continues this series entitled, Who Are God's Chosen People?
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.